There's something in the heart of God that he always wants to meet with his people. And that's exactly what he did in what we know of as the tabernacle. My name is Chris Montgomery, pastor at Fraser Church, and thank you for joining us on this 8-week journey as we learn how to enter his presence.
Welcome to day 52 of the tabernacle, a place of glory. Rick Warren once wrote, "What is the glory of God? It is who God is. It is the essence of his nature, the weight of his importance, the radiance of his splendor, the demonstration of his power, the atmosphere of his presence." Our text today is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 through 5a. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the Most Holy Place, having the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna, an Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. The 9th chapter of Hebrews shares how God gave Moses specific instructions for constructing the temporary tabernacle, knowing that these would later serve as symbols pointing people to Jesus Christ. Ray C. Stedman gives a great analogy of what occurs in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. In C.S. Lewis's well-known Chronicles of Narnia, he describes how several quite ordinary English children, while playing hide-and-seek, enter a quite ordinary English wardrobe. Pressing deeper into the familiar garments, they suddenly find themselves in a strange and mysterious land. Some such phenomenon occurs to those who think deeply about what Scripture says about that humble structure of skins and panels called the tabernacle. At first, all is factual, measurable, and straightforward, but as we press deeper, the walls silently move back. The commonplace begins to glow, and soon we find ourselves before the awesome throne of God in a heavenly temple, surrounded by myriads of worshiping angels and watching the ritual of redemption through holy, transformed eyes. The author of Hebrews unveils the Holy of Holies and takes the reader into the presence of God at the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered by the mercy seat. The Life Application Bible Commentary on Hebrews provides essential details about this lid called the mercy seat. The author described what decorated the top of the Ark of the Covenant, cherubim of the glory. That's Hebrews 9, verse 5. Cherubim are mighty angels. One of the functions of the cherubim was to serve as guardians. These angels guarded the entrances to both the Tree of Life, that's Genesis 3:24, and the Most Holy Place, Exodus 26, verses 31 through 33. The living creatures carrying God's throne in Ezekiel 1 may have been cherubim. With their wings overshadowing the atonement cover, these two gold statues were believed to support God's invisible presence. They stood at the ends of the atonement cover, facing each other. They may have been represented with bodies of animals and faces of humans. Often they symbolized the glory of God. You can see Psalm 80, verse 1, and also Psalm 99, verse 1. Here they are called cherubim of the glory, referring to the glory of God. The glory of God's presence hovered over the Ark of the Covenant. You can see Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 36, and Leviticus 16, verse 2. Notice the description of the cherubim on the mercy seat. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. That's Hebrews 9, verse 5. John Owen provides these short but meaningful explanations of the terms glory and overshadowing. Here, glory means the majestic presence of God Himself. The cherubim represented God's glorious presence as He lived among His people. Overshadowing. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover of them. Overshadowing is the same description that Moses gives in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 25, verse 20. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another, toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubim be. As we discussed on day 50, the cherubim's position provides a beautiful throne on which God dwells. The wings spread out as a covering, showing the cherubim's humility and reverence in God's presence. God's glory is so brilliant that their faces can't contain it. So the cherubim are positioned looking at one another with wings spread to shelter them from the overwhelming magnificence of His glory. Therefore, they are described as cherubim of glory because their location places them in the direct path of the glory of God. When God comes down to meet on the mercy seat, to meet with His people, His glory cannot be contained or fully described. Some questions to consider. Our study reveals that the mercy seat is a place of God's presence, mercy, grace, and glory. How are these connected? What first comes to your mind when you think about the glory of God? And finally, how do the following scriptures describe God's glory? From 1 Chronicles 29, 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. From Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. And from Psalm 97, verses 1 through 6. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and burns up His adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the peoples see His glory. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.